stand, you can clap, you can sit, however you want to worship. You can raise your hands as we sing every praise.
Praises to the Lord. We'll sing every praise. Come on.
Every praise.
Well, welcome this morning. That's a little bit different than what we normally do. We usually just play the song for you, but we want to encourage you to join us on Sunday mornings in singing those songs. However you want, however you feel led to worship, you can remain seated, and that's perfectly fine. You can raise your hands, you can stand, you can clap along with us, however you want to do, and that's all great also. We just want you to worship the Lord as we come together and begin our services. So welcome to those of you who are online there with us, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those platforms. Be sure to heart, to like, to share, subscribe, follow us. Welcome also there to those that are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for joining with us also. If you have need of that number for the phone live streaming, please see me after the service. I'll be at that door this morning when you leave, and you can see me there and let me know that, and we'll be glad to get that to you. Or you can call the church office during the week, and we'll be glad to share that then. I also want to encourage you to go to our church website at HighlandBaptistChurch.com. Go just a few tabs over to the info tab. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for this week. These are in the window sills at the doors. The ushers will be glad to give you one of those. There are some important upcoming activities there that you'll want to get one of those. And then also, we have our children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They go along with the sermon that we will be going through this morning in Ephesians chapter 6. Those are in the windowsill to my right. Those are also under that info tab that you can download, as well as the prayer list is there under that info tab that you can download. If you want one of the paper copies of the prayer list, they're on the magazine racks on the tables out across from the offices there. If you're a guest this morning, morning or you brought a guest with you, we want to encourage you to make sure you get one of the gift bags this morning. Please be sure to stop and pick one of those up. They're on the sides of the stage here. They're at the doors as you leave going out this morning. So be sure to get one of those. It's got some information about our church that we want to share with you. It's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So looking forward to the worship this morning. Looking forward to the sermon this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. I know some of you stood during that last song, and that's wonderful. But if you can, and we'll stand during this one, let's sing Worthy of Worship, page, or hymn number 3, Worthy of Worship. Ladies?
You see on the screens there, as well as in your bulletins, our missionary of the week is Jeremy Dager. He is serving in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and has started there, the Port City Church, in 2023. God has blessed them, and that church is growing as they seek to share the gospel there in Nova Scotia, in Canada. You can read his story there in your bulletin, so be sure to take the time to do that. But just to say a word of encouragement that our Canadian Baptists have started 203 churches in the last 13 years, thanks to the support of churches like ours. And so we want to continue to pray for Jeremy and Port City Church, asking God to give them opportunities to tell people about Jesus. We want to be praying for our missionaries that are serving in Moldova. Continue to keep them in your prayers, and we just ask God's blessing upon them also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin to worship. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are and for the great and mighty blessings that you have given to us. Thank you, Father, for your presence here with us today. And Lord, we just pray that as we come before you, may you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, Lord, of any unrighteousness that we might have in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would renew us. Lord, transform us from the inside out to be more and more like Christ and less like us in our sinfulness. So, Father, we ask your blessings this morning, Lord, on our missionaries, Jeremy Degger and his family in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries who are serving in Moldova. We pray for missionaries, Lord, who are serving internationally and around this world, as well as across our nation and North America. We pray, God, for your blessings upon each one of them. Lord, bless us that as we give each Sunday, we'll realize that a portion of our tithes and our offerings is going to support those missionaries on the field, as well as those special offerings that we take, like our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So, Father, I just pray that you would continue to stir our hearts to give to you and your kingdom work each and every time we gather for worship. And we just ask your blessings upon it. Bless this service this morning, Lord. Be with those who could not be here with us for various reasons. We ask your blessings and your protection upon each one of them. We pray for those who are sick and ask, Lord, for you to bring the healing to their bodies that they need. Father, I pray for each and every person who is here this morning, Lord, that you would lay a special blessing upon them through everything we do here as an act of worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, just thank you so much for being here. Just wanted to make sure to remind you and share with you, you can do your online giving, especially you at home. There on our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. Easy platform that you can do your offering there. You can do that from here also on your phones, or you can fill out the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you or at the doors and place that in the offering plates that's down here. There are offering plates at the doors as you leave also. And so just wanted to make you aware of those things. Wanted to remind you also, there is one thing in the bulletin I wanted to remind you about. That's the Men's Night of Worship that is coming up. It's coming up this coming Saturday, the 22nd. And so wanted to remind you about that. It's going to be over at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. If you're planning to go to that or interested in going to that, I'll be at that door, as I said earlier, greeting people as they leave. You can stop me there and let me know. You can call the church office first thing tomorrow to let us know, or you can let me know this evening if you come for evening service. That'd be great if you came for evening service. We need to know because they're planning a dinner. That's going to be at 4 o'clock. The service begins at 5 o'clock, and so we need to know those numbers for how many are coming. Be sure to take a look at your bulletins and all the other things that are in there. Don't forget the YouVersion Bible app that you can download and discover our church there. Set our church as your church, and you'll see the chronological Bible reading plan that we're going through as a part of that. And then we do need volunteers still. We need volunteers to help us with the sound and the audiovisual things that you see on the screens and helping to do those things. We need individuals to help us with Vacation Bible School that's going to be coming up. There's lots of ways that you can help us in volunteering for various different aspects of ministry here at Highland. So we want to encourage you to talk to us. We'll be glad to share with you more of those things. So those are the main things I had. I think there's one other thing. Maybe I'll think of it in a minute. But Brother Mike, if you come.
Well, think of it now, because the older you get, they don't come around quick. Take your hymnals. You don't have to stand on this one. But if you would, take your hymnals and join us as we sing Be Strong in the Lord, hymn 476. Ladies.
Sure, when you call.
singing this special this morning. It's called Who You Say I Am. If you know the words to that, the words will be on the screen. If you feel led to join in singing with us, please feel free to do that also.
Proud of me.
Children's Church will be gathering over here on the piano side during this next song. And while I'm catching my breath, y'all, if you would, stand up, because you can't sing this song sitting down. Stand up for Jesus, 485. Ladies.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, congregation, this morning. Sometimes I think I'm a little bit Baptist-costal when it comes to singing, if you notice me there moving with the songs when I'm directing. I did remember what the thing was that I wanted to share with you in the announcements, so sometimes it takes a little time for the wheels to get to spinning there. We are getting ready to celebrate our 75th anniversary as a church. We're going to be doing things all throughout this year, but we're having a planning meeting for some of that coming up March the 1st. It's 2 weeks from yesterday, so just wanted to give you the notice of that. It'll be in the bulletin next Sunday for you as a reminder there, but that's going to be March the 1st at 9 o'clock. It's not just for the church council. It's for anybody who wants to be involved in that planning and preparation. There's lots of different ways, and we'll be listing more of those ways out this next Sunday of how you can specifically be involved in that. But just to know that there's all kinds of ways, no matter what your giftedness is, that God could use you in our 75th anniversary celebration preparation. So take your Bibles this morning. I've been looking forward to these last few verses here of Ephesians 6. These are some of my favorite in all of the book of Ephesians. Speaking about the spiritual armor and the spiritual battle that we face. We don't like the spiritual battle, and I don't look forward to the spiritual battle. But we know that if you're for each person who is a believer, there are going to be those times where the battle is thicker and heavier than it is at other times. And so I've entitled the message this morning, Life is War. And I'll explain that in just a moment here, but we're going to begin reading with verse 10 through the beginning part of verse 11. So not all the way through verse 11 yet. We'll get to that part. But verse 10 of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, verse 10 and the beginning of verse 11. Would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. We pray, God, that you will use this word to stir our hearts, Lord. We know there is a battle because sometimes we find ourselves, Lord, in the thick of it. Father, I pray that knowing that whether we're in the midst of the battle right now or maybe you've given us a break for a moment, you've given us some rest and peace to get ready for the next round. Father, I pray that you will help us to be prepared in our hearts as we study through this awesome passage here, learning about the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle, the things that can help us to live a victorious Christian life. And so, Father, I pray that even though life is war, Father, I pray that you will help us to come out on the other side victorious, knowing Jesus is our Lord and Savior, growing more faithfully and stronger in our faith with you each and every day. So bless your word this morning. May it go forth and not return void. May it be powerful, effectual. And Father, I pray that you will use it to transform and change our lives this morning, especially those who may not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You can be seated.
You know, as I said, whether you know it or not, we're in a war. And the war has not ended. It's not a war that's being fought in Ukraine. It's not a war that's being fought in the Middle East. It's a world war. It's being fought on American soil. It's being fought in Tennessee. It's being fought here in Tullahoma. It's a dirty war. It's a deadly war. And it's a war that's against Satan, and it's a fight to the death. It's a very important battle. It's a no-holds-barred battle. And the reason that some are losing the battle, some are losing the war, is that they don't even know that it's going on. They don't understand why they're defeated in so many ways. They don't understand why their prayers don't seem to be getting answered. And there are those who don't understand why their children are lost and why their children are straying from the Lord. They don't understand many things because rather than winning the battle, they're not even showing up for the war. They don't even know that there's a war going on. I want to tell you this morning that Satan knows there's a war going on. The Bible says this in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And he's fighting like a cornered animal that's been backed into the corner. He's letting loose with all of his artillery of hell. And many Christians who ought to be in the battle are sleeping. Somehow we've gotten the idea that the old ship of Zion, that the church is a luxury liner. It's not a luxury liner. It's a battleship. It's not a showboat. It's to be a warship. It's we need to understand that we have been called to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I want to make sure to emphasize this morning, because sometimes when we think of the word fight, or we see that the message here speaking about war in the New Testament, what I want you to understand is this is not a physical battle. This is not us fighting against one another physically. This is a spiritual warfare. And so today in this last part of the chapter is going to be broken up into three different parts. We're going to be looking today at our enemy, our adversary. Next week, we're going to be looking at our armor. And then the following week, we're going to be looking at our attack, or looking at our weapons. There's a lot to say about each one of those, and I don't want to keep you here till this evening. So some of you would be upset with me. You got to get to lunch. What I want you to see this morning is our adversary. First of all, in any battle, in any war, you've got to know who your enemy is. Because understand who our enemy is, who Satan is. He always wants to deceive us concerning himself. And notice again that there is a battle. It is spiritual warfare. Finally, after all he said, remember what he's been talking about all this time. He's talked about the relationship of husbands to their wives and wives to their husbands. He's talked about the relationship of parents to their children and children to their parents. We looked at last week the relationship of the employer to the employee and the employee to the employer. And he says here in verse 10, finally, because he's tying all of that together to remind us there is a spiritual battle that is going on in the family today. There is a spiritual battle that is going on in the workplace today. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You try to fight this spiritual battle in your own strength, you'll fail every time. You're going to get discouraged, beaten down, defeated. That's why Paul is very importantly here, shares with us to show with us in verse 10 there that our focus, especially because remember who he's writing here to, he's writing to believers. He's writing to a New Testament church in a city called Ephesus that has all kinds of other gods that are being worshiped by people. Satanism, in essence, is running rampant in Ephesus. And Paul is writing to the New Testament church in Ephesus, and he's saying, I know there's a battle that's going on in your marriage. There's battles that are going on in your family. There is battles that are going on in the workplace. So finally, here's what I want you to know. Be strong in not yourself, not your money, not your government, not in anything of this world. Be strong in the Lord. It's His might that will see you through. And then he tells us what we first need to do, which we're going to get into more next week, when he says, put on the whole armor of God. So what I want you to see here comes in this second part of verse 11 that we're going to see in just a moment. You know, it's always the scheme of our enemy to pull the veil of darkness across his kingdom. And his cleverest tactic is to make people believe that he doesn't even exist at all. There are many people today who don't even believe in an actual, literal, personal devil. Many believe that the devil is just a personification of evil or some sort of figure of speech or a simile or whatever, but that there's no such thing as a real devil. But the devil is behind all of that, because if people don't believe the devil, they're not going to make preparation for the spiritual battle. But there is a devil, and I want you to notice how Paul describes our enemy here in the second part of verse 11. He tells us there that he is subtle. He is subtle. Notice what verse 11 goes on to say. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles, the deception of the devil. So underscore that word schemes, or some versions use the word wiles, because it means that the devil is a very subtle person. He's clever. He uses devices. He uses all kinds of trickery. As we've already said, one form of trickery that he uses is to make people believe that he doesn't even exist. So how does he do that? Well, one way is that he's gotten the idea out there that the devil is this little guy with horns and a red suit and a pitchfork that he runs around with. And there are people that say, well, I don't believe in that. And so they don't believe in the devil. But understand, you never find that description of the devil in the Word of God. That comes from folklore. That comes from medieval literature. It doesn't come from the Word of God. Jesus called the devil in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the god of this world or this age. And he's a clever counterfeiter. He doesn't appear in a red suit with horns, but he appears in camouflage. He appears as a counterfeit. He's always trying to counterfeit what God is doing. He appears in disguise. He's in religion up to his ears. The Bible speaks of an unholy Trinity. You know the Trinity that we speak of in the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, there's an unholy Trinity in the Bible also. It's found in Revelation 16 and verse 13 of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. Just like there's a holy trinity, there's an unholy trinity. And so the devil even has his churches. The Bible describes them in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9 and calls them synagogues of Satan. Satan has his ministers, and there are some even in pulpits of churches that profess to be Christian. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 through verse 15, remember Paul again is writing to Christians there in a city called Corinth that had all kinds of problems in their church because of the influences of people around them in their world. He said this in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. He says, "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." So they're disguising themselves to look like they are followers of Christ, they are emissaries of Christ going out into this world. And verse 14 goes on to say, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." So not a guy with horns and a red suit and a pitchfork. He's disguising himself as an angel of light. Verse 15 says, "So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." He actually has ministers. He has his whole system, even of theology. The devil's not against theology. The devil is for theology. You read this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times," speaking of the days we're even living "in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings," or doctrines, theology, "of demons." So think about it. We've already read a verse that said Satan's called a god. He has an unholy trinity. He has a church. He has ministers. He has doctrines. Why there are even sacrifices offered to the devil. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20 in Paul's day there, he said, "No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons." So Paul is telling the church, you need to forsake all of that that's going on around you in this world, anything that has anything to do with the devil. You see, the devil never appears as the devil, or what we think of as the devil. He appears as an angel of light. And so the Bible says there in verse 11, we are to be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles, the deception of the devil. You see how deceptive the devil is. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis there in the Garden of Eden. When he comes to Adam and Eve, especially when he comes to Eve there in the garden, he came to Eve. He didn't ask her to be demonic. He didn't ask her to devise some scheme. He asked her to be godly. Do you remember that? The temptation wasn't to fall down, it was to fall up. Remember what he said to Eve? He said, "Eve, I'm going to tell you how to be like God." Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Well, there is if you try and do it the devil's way rather than God's way. We need to be like God, his way, not the devil's way. So the first thing, what we see here, he was trying to tell her, and she believed it, that she could follow the devil's way to be godly. So what I want you to notice here about Satan is that he is subtle. Secondly, I want you to know he is spiritual. He is spiritual. Go down to verse 12. Notice verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle as Christians, as believers, against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Now, many people don't understand that the devil is a spiritual person. They think if a thing is spiritual, that must be good. They say concerning people, he's a very spiritual person or she's a very spiritual person. And what they mean by that is they're a good person, but not necessarily. It could mean that they're a very wicked person. Some of the most wicked people are very spiritual people. You see, there are all kinds of spirits. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Satan is a spiritual person. In other words, we're not wrestling, Paul is telling us here, against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against each other. We're not even wrestling against the lost people that are out there in this world. And so many of us can never really learn that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We want to go out and find somebody who we think is doing wrong, and we want to get in a fight with them. We want to get in a war with them. We want to get in a war with people, and the devil just sits back and laughs. He loves to see us fighting flesh and fighting blood. He loves us to see us even in the church fighting other individuals in the church, people, flesh, and blood, because he knows as long as we are fighting flesh and blood, we're not really fighting the battle that needs to be fought. All too often, we're fighting flesh and blood when we ought to be showing up for the spiritual battle that's going on. That's what he's talking about in verse 12. So many don't even understand where the realm of the battle is. You remember the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul began this book, and we began this way back several months ago in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places," in the spiritual realm, the sphere of our battle. You turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 down to verse 23, let me show you how much more perceptive Jesus Christ is even than we are. In Matthew 16, in verse 21 to verse 23, it tells us, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So he begins telling his disciples all of that that's going to happen, that he's got to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be persecuted there, he's going to suffer many things of the religious people, and he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's going to be raised. And then notice verse 22. "Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.'" Now, let me just say right there, when Peter did that and said that, he was 180 degrees wrong. He was just as wrong as he could be. Because notice what Jesus does. He turns and he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And when you read that, think about that for a moment here. Was Jesus calling Peter the devil? Not at all. Jesus looked beyond Peter and through Peter, and he saw what was really behind the words of Peter. Jesus knew where the source of that statement really was. Peter didn't come up with that statement on his own. The devil was using Peter to say that. And so rather than rebuking Peter himself, who does Jesus Christ rebuke? He rebukes the devil. Now, most of us, if it had been us, we'd have gone to war with Peter. We would have been trying to beat Peter up or beat him over the head with a Bible, straighten Peter out. But Jesus knew where the warfare was. Jesus knew that the problem wasn't with Peter so much as it was with Satan. Satan was the power behind Peter's false statement. And Jesus went right to the source of the spiritual battle, and he rebukes the devil that's using Peter. I wonder how many times the devil's gotten us into an argument with some flesh and blood, and then he just sits over in the corner and laughs while we fight it out. And he goes away unscathed. I think it's the devil's favorite trick to start an argument while one Christian argues with another Christian, and he just sits over there in the corner and just laughs, and we're not doing what the Lord has called us to do. We're fighting and fussing with one another.
And we don't really go to the source of the problem, which is Satan himself. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. So we notice that he is subtle. We notice that he is spiritual. But I want you to see, thirdly, he is strong. He is strong. Notice this in verse 12 also. Verse 12 again says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil." Wow. What does that mean? What does it tell us about Satan? It tells us that Satan has authority. He has great authority. In fact, the Bible describes him as roaming to and fro through the earth. He's the prince of the power of this air, of this world. Now don't make light of the devil. Don't belittle the devil and make belittling remarks or jokes about the devil. Don't underestimate the enemy. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Jude, a book we don't read that often, but in the book of Jude in chapter 1 and verse 9, that says, "But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Think about it. Here's a mighty archangel, but he says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." We don't need to go out to do battle against Satan saying, "Well, he's just the devil. I know he's a fallen angel. He's defeated. I've got the power of Jesus in me." That's all well and true, but never underestimate your enemy. The devil never gives up anybody or anything without a fight. Some of you experience that in your life. You're trying to get rid of some vice, some sin in your life, and it's the dickens to get rid of it because he keeps coming back full force, attacking you with it. Satan is strong. We sing a song many times in services called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Martin Luther wrote that song, and in that song, he wrote these words concerning Satan. He wrote that we as puny people are no match for this mighty devil. Listen to the words of Martin Luther. He said, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." There is no person, no matter how strong they are, no matter how powerful they are, who is equal to Satan. We need to understand that. He is subtle. He is spiritual. He is strong. And then I want you to notice, fourthly, he is sinister. Verse 12, again, says that we're against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." How wicked Satan is. Notice how the Bible describes him in verse 12. The word evil there, the word wickedness. Understand this. Satan, if you're here this morning as a believer, Satan hates you. You know why he hates you? He hates you because God loves you. God has set his affections on you. Satan's war is not really with you. He could really care less about you. His war really is against God. The only reason Satan wants to do you harm is to get to the heart of God. You know that people have known for a long time that when there's someone and you can't hurt that person, the best way to get to them is to hurt somebody that they love. We know that to be true. And so Satan wants to harm you because God has set his affection on you, because God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And that just drives Satan mad. But notice what God has chosen to do. God has chosen to use you as the victory over Satan. Now, what we know is when Jesus died on that cross, he gained the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan at the cross. But think about it. If God wanted to, all God has to do is to speak Satan out of existence. He spoke this world into existence, didn't he? According to the scriptures, he spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was land. He spoke and there were animals. He spoke and there were birds. He spoke and there was water. He could just as easily speak and say, Satan, be gone. You're done. That's it. It's over. And he could be vanquished forever. But he doesn't want to do it that way. God wants to use people like you and me to defeat Satan. It's a part of his master plan. And that's wonderful, but that also is sobering to think of. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ there. Remember when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? And Satan offers those temptations and even those demonic insinuations that Jesus isn't even the Son of God. Because remember what he says here? Let's read that scripture, if you will. You can turn in your Bibles over there. You can look at it on the screen if you want. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 through verse 11. Here's what the Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 3. And the tempter, which is the devil who had come to tempt Jesus, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God. He is coming to Jesus with the presumption, with the argument to start with, you're not even the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, then you could command these stones to become loaves of bread. But you remember what Jesus answered? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil, in verse 5, took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, again there, making that insinuation that he's not the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And then in verse 7, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And notice again in verse 9, he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He doesn't even use that insinuating accusation anymore because he knows it's not even working. And so he says, here's what I want you to do. See all these kingdoms of the world? See this whole place that you can see for the farthest stretches of your eyes? If you would bow down before me, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. It's as though in that whole story there, that whole illustration for us there, it's as though Jesus Christ said, Satan, I want you to know, as God, a very God, who I am. I could very well speak the word and obliterate you and devastate you, but Satan, I'm going to beat you, and I'm not going to just beat you as God, I'm going to beat you as man. And Jesus defeated Satan, not as God, he died as a man on the cross. And he defeated Satan as a man. And Jesus used the only resources. What were the resources that Jesus used to defeat Satan in those temptations? He used the Word of God. One of the things we're going to talk about eventually there when we get to the spiritual armor and getting ready for the battle itself. He used the only resources that any one of us as believers have at our disposal. Jesus didn't pull ranks on us. Jesus faced Satan with the very resources that all of us who are here have at our disposal as believers. And with the same resources that I have, Jesus met Satan and Jesus defeated Satan. What an encouragement that ought to be to us. I'm telling you that Satan is sinister. He hates you. But let me give you a word of encouragement. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who's he talking about? Satan. And he's talking about all of his minions of this world. You are greater than he who is in this world. Not because of you, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Christ did for you. You remember that song that we mentioned a while ago that we sang, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? Well, verse 3 of that song goes on to say this, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. God has chosen to use us to defeat Satan. That's awesome. That comes with a great responsibility. He used the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was very man, to win the first battle, and now he's allowing through us, working through us, to triumph over Satan. One other thing I'll say about Satan. We've seen what he is, but here's what I want you to know. He is not co-equal with God. Sometimes we think of that and we think, what is the opposite of God? And we think, oh, it's the devil. No. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere at the same time. The devil's not. You know that? The Bible tells us that the devil is a fallen angel. He's not co-equal with God. He's not co-equal with Jesus. He's nothing but a fallen angel who ultimately has no power over us as believers. And the only way you can defeat the enemy in your life is to have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in you, trusting in him as your Lord and your Savior. It's important for us to understand who the enemy is. Next time you're having an argument with your husband or your wife, remember who the enemy is. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. Next time you're having an argument, children, with your parents, remember who the enemy really is. It's not your parents. It's the devil. When you're having an argument with somebody out there in the world or somebody wants to argue with you, understand who the real enemy is. It's the devil. And make sure that you're ready to do battle against the devil. If you're not in the midst of it right now, you will be. The only way you can have power to overcome the devil is by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Who's Paul writing all this to here in Ephesians 6? Believers. And the only way for you to be able to stand against the wiles, against the schemes of the devil, is to first know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. He is our adversary. He is your enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning. Thank you for what you have taught us here in the truth of your word about who our enemy is. There's so much more we could look to see about our enemy. But Lord, that gives us the basis of who he is. And Father, I pray that we would be aware of his schemes, of his devices, that he doesn't come to us with some evil picture, some evil temptation. He comes to us, Lord, with enticing things that look good to us, things that he wants to pull us away from you. And so, Father, I pray that we would recognize his devices. Lord, for us to be able to do that, we've got to be more in your presence than ever before, having you dwelling within us, Lord, so that when those temptations come, they stand out with warning signs all around us to beware lest we fall to that temptation. Father, I pray that you would help us, because we cannot stand against the devil and his power in and of ourselves. We need you. And we know, God, that you have chosen to use us in this battle. That's what you've given us this instruction for here in Ephesians chapter 6, to be ready for the battle against the devil. Father, I pray that we'll be ready. Lord, if there are those who are here this morning who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, may they take that first step to get ready, because they're in the midst of it right now. Lord, the devil is going to try to keep them from coming to you. He's going to try to pull them away, kicking and screaming to himself. And Father, I just pray that you will draw them in their hearts to a faith in Christ, to know, God, that the only reason the devil hates them is because you love them. You love them so much, you sent your Son to die for them, to give them this victory over death, over hell, over the grave, over Satan. Father, we don't have to live under the power of sin in our lives anymore as believers. We'll still have its presence, but we don't have that power anymore over us unless we submit ourselves back to it. Lord, one day we know we're going to be freed from the presence of sin. Thank you, God, that we're free from the penalty of sin, that Jesus took the penalty of our sin on himself on the cross. Lord, I pray that we would realize this morning that we're still going to be in the presence of sin as long as we're in this world, until that day when Jesus comes again and we join him to be with him in heaven forever and ever, where there is no more sin, where there is no more evil, where there is no more Satan. So, Father, bless your word in our hearts this morning, that those who are lost will come to say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in the tomb and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and my life and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life." Father, I pray there'll be those who will come this morning to make that public profession. There may be others, Lord, who you've been working in their hearts to come and to join this fellowship as we seek to make your kingdom and to make your gospel known to the nations of the world. Father, I pray that you will lead them to come this morning. Maybe others, Lord, who just simply need to pray because they're in the midst of the spiritual battle themselves. So bless us this morning in this hymn of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Would you sing with us as we stand and sing, "Wherever he leads, I'll go"? You come as the Lord lays on your heart. For the mic. Seated for just a moment, Brother Roger is going to come and share our announcements.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to be here in the church. I've been gone for 2 or 3 weeks. My wife's been sick in the hospital. She's getting better. Thanks, praise the Lord. Miss Imogene is home. And that's great. And then Miss Linda Miller, I think she's going to Elizabethtown. Is that in, that's in East Tennessee?
March,
okay. She's asked for prayer there. Brian Tate's surgery is going well. He's here today. It's good to see you. Brother Matt has gone down in Georgia, his aunt's funeral, and he was on his way back or started back, and his car kind of went sideways with him, I guess. Anyways, I think he's getting it fixed. Miss Kathy Brock, sister Debbie, has cancer. She's asked prayer for her. And then, as I said, Kay continues to get better with a broken back, and getting over the shingles, and it's just taking a lot out of her. So appreciate all that the church has done, and all the food, the cards, the calls, just everything has just been fat. What a church, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, you know, without our church, I know I'd be lost. I mean, I'd still know Christ, but it'd be a lonely, lonely life. So if you're here visiting today, this is a fantastic church to come to. And as Brother Jim said, he'll be at the back or at the door out here on the dinner for the Rutledge Falls men's Bible study worship. So anyways, if we'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have you on my list.
Sorry. Just real quick. First, everybody that came last week to our volunteer meeting for BVS, thank you very much. We still need a lot of help. Some of the places that we really need help, we need a first and second grade teacher. So if little kids are your joy, please, please, please come and teach first and second grade for the week. It will be a blessing. We also need help with pre-K rec and in music. One of the new things that we are doing this year is we are going to have a prayer or worship room upstairs in one of the Sunday school rooms that we're not using to teach. This is a place that we would like to be able to bring kids or volunteers during the week, whether they need a word of prayer or we need help praying for a child or anything like that. Or if you just need a word of prayer over you before you teach these kids. So if you would like to volunteer for that, you don't necessarily have to be there the whole time, but we would like to have the room manned the whole week. So if you would like to be part of that, please let myself or Matt know. Additionally, please get your shirt sizes and colors to Matt, Amy, or I so that Amy can get those orders. Decoration orders are due by the 28th of February to Amy so that she can get that taken care of. And then we will be having another volunteer meeting on the 30th of March at 4 p.m. And I'll obviously make another reminder about that. So, thank you.
Anybody else that I miss?
I remember the lady that worked at the top of the corner lane. She fell and broke her leg in four places. Joy Gray.
Joy
Gray.
So Brian's asked to remember Joy Gray that fell and broke her leg in four places. So now, if there's no others, we'll stand and be dismissed. And I guess I'll go out on a limb. If you want to turn around and say hi to your neighbors and tell them you love them and wish them. Just glad to be here today. You can do that, and if you get sick, don't blame me, blame him. Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to put on the whole plate of armor, that, Lord, that we can get on our knees and I pray, Lord, and praise you each and every day and all that you do for us and the things that we take for granted, that you're always there and that and we just learn to depend on you, Lord. The healing that you give, that we just have to ask, and you'll do it. Father, because you said you would. And so anyways, we just ask that you be with those that are in need today, those that are hurting, that you take the pain away from them, that you lead and guide in our lives and give us the strength to let others know, Lord, that we belong to you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.